1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perchet. The UAW strike against Detroit's Big Three is a step closer to ending. The last holdout, General Motors, reached a deal with the union today.
The leverage for the first time in decades is with the workers. And I think there's no question that we've seen this year of strikes because workers get it. They understand that right now they've got the upper hand and they're going to, you know, try to make hay while the sun shines and try and get a better deal and rebalance a system that has seemed to many people to be out of whack.
ABC's Terry Moran. The IDF says an Israeli soldier who was kidnapped by Hamas October 7th has been released. Israeli tanks continue to push into Gaza. Meanwhile, more aid trucks are also making their way in. An Illinois man pleads not guilty to hate crime and murder charges in an attack that left a 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy dead and his mother seriously wounded. Residents of Lewiston, Maine, returned to work today, many for the first time since last week's deadly shooting. 18 people were killed, more than a dozen injured. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says he'd veto those bills.
That is not going to impact inflation. If we're worried about inflation, let's do a middle-class tax cut, and that's it.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Republican Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan both say they'd back a continuing resolution to keep the government open and funded through April. Lawmakers are racing to avoid a government shutdown on November 17th. Both lawmakers were guests on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. The fight against PFAS continued at a conference at UWGB on Friday. The conference was attended by educators, environmental experts, and local officials. They gathered to discuss the impact PFAS have on our communities here in Northeast Wisconsin and nationwide. They can be found in the waters of Green Bay, tap water, and store-bought products. Pediatrician Beth Neary attended the conference and said the goal is to clean the damage that's been done and stop any further damage to the environment. The conference was organized by the Clearwater Action Council of Northeast Wisconsin. Just a heads up for you commuters, northbound Wisconsin 57 Riverside Drive under Wisconsin 172 closed this morning at 7 a.m. and will remain closed until Thursday, November 9th. Crews will be performing repairs to the 172 bridge over Riverside Drive due to a crash earlier this year. Alternate routes are available on the Wisconsin DOT website. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Amy Herrick has an event coming up called Smart Girls Rock. I keep seeing the term STEM. What does that stand for?
First of all, the acronym STEM actually came around, I think it was first in 2001. The concept has always been around, but actually calling it STEM is relatively new.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
2001 was just yesterday.
Why don't you just relax, Jim?
It feels like it.
How about, how about more Amy, less you?
Okay.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers made one mistake after another, losing to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love admitting at times he couldn't decide what to do with the football.
That's where I need to continue to grow, continue to be better for the team. It's just being that decisive player that's going to, you know, go through my reads, and that's where I got to be better.
The Vikings suffering a blow in the fourth quarter when quarterback Kirk Cousins had to leave the game with a torn Achilles tendon. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Gave all the defensive guys game balls, but the last game ball was for Kirk.
College football, the Badgers battled for three quarters but lost at home to Ohio State 24-10. Wisconsin has now lost 10 games in a row. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's a tough one in that locker room. I thought we came out doing what we needed to do, to be honest with you.
NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Atlanta Hawks 127-110. Chris Middleton was inactive and asked, when did he find out that he would not play against the Hawks?
I think they told me maybe after the last game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet this afternoon with highs around 36. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for snow tonight 24. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 38. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and a lot of it was made this weekend. Where to start? I'll tell you where we're going to start. We're going to start with Donald Trump's attacking Judge Engoron in New York in his fraud trial. Remember something, he is subject to a gag order in New York. He's been fined twice for a total of $15,000. He keeps shooting his mouth off. Crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump. Remember something when I talk about this right now. Donald Trump waived a jury. In a civil case, and that's what this one is, even though it's for fraud, you can waive a jury. You put in a waiver. You say, I want the judge to hear it. The reason you do that and the reason Donald Trump did it here was because if you did something very bad and you're trying to explain it by kicking the numbers around, juries see through that and don't like it. Judges who frequently have more of a financial background, you hope, will look and say, yeah, well, technically I'm not crazy about it, but he has a point. That's why you do it. That's why you do it. And it happens not frequently, but it happens more frequently than you think. Donald Trump waived his right to a jury trial and asked that the court handle the case. Now he's complaining that there's no jury. The reason there's no jury is because he waived it. He didn't want a jury for tactical reasons. And then when Ivanka Trump, his daughter, is being called to testify along with his two sons, Don Jr. and Eric, suddenly Trump went postal. He went ballistic. Here's what he said. I'm going to read you some of the things he said. Remember, there's a gag order against him. You can't attack court staff. You can't attack witnesses. You can't attack jurors. Here there are no jurors. Quote, he said, my daughter Ivanka was released from this fake Letitia James case by the Court of Appeals, but this Trump-hating, unhinged judge who ruled me guilty before the witch hunt trial even started couldn't care less about the fact that he was overturned. Okay, time out. What he's talking about is originally Ivanka Trump was a defendant in this case, along with the two sons, and of course, along with Donald Trump. However, on the Court of Appeals, they said, well, Ivanka Trump did profit from this. She did some things, but she wasn't in it deep enough, and we dismiss her. But that doesn't mean she doesn't have to testify. That doesn't mean she doesn't have to testify. She has knowledge of this stuff, and she benefited from it, even though she was released as a defendant. So here he calls the judge a Trump-hating, unhinged judge who found him guilty. He wasn't found guilty. This isn't a criminal trial. The judge granted what's called a motion for summary judgment. Letitia James put in a motion that said, look, there are no factual disputes in this case. Here are the appraisals. Here's what he said. There's no defense. And judges or Trump's lawyers tried to dance around that, but they had no defense. They have no defense. That's why Trump waived a jury, because jurors can smell this kind of stuff. Judges are very experienced, and they sometimes are jaded, and they sometimes go, okay, well, these appraisals, maybe they were general appraisals, blah, blah, blah. Well, it didn't even work. Here's what Trump goes on to say about the judge. Quote, I believe he is crazy, or at least crazed with his hatred for me. He's an out of control nut job. Talking about the judge who fined me 10 grand over a ridiculous gag order. Racist Letitia James and the judge's star witness, he means Michael Cohen, admitted lying to Congress. Michael Cohen did lie to Congress. That's why he got convicted, to try to protect Trump. The judge is a partisan political hack, this witch hunt against me. There is no jury allowed. Time out. Time out. What do you mean there's no jury allowed? He waived the jury. There was a jury allowed. He didn't want a jury. This is a Biden election interference scam. This radical Trump hater must be taken off the case. Let me tell you something. How many times do you think that that violated? How many times do you think that that violated the gag order? Like a dozen? More than a dozen? He has got to be brought back into court. You don't call a judge on your when you're on a gag order a nut job, Trump hater, deranged. You don't say that to the judge. Now, and I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get to you right after this. But I got to say this first. If this were anybody else, if this were you, yes, you who are listening to me right now, the judge had called you in and he put you in jail for 10 days for doing this when there was a gag order, when there's a gag order, and then attacking the witness and attacking the other lawyer, 10 days, maybe five if you have a merciful judge, just to give you a taste of it. Here, Trump knows, or he thinks he knows, that the judge can't put him in a jail cell for 5 or 10 days because he's a big man. So he'll keep doing this, and he thinks the judge will find me another 10 grand. I'll get a lot of headlines. My base will like it, and I'll keep mouthing off. The problem is that some of this directs violence towards the judge, towards his clerk, towards the opposing counsel. And I have an idea. What is the judge going to do about this? What is the judge going to do about what he says about his court personnel and about Letitia James when Ivanka Trump is on the stand? Don Jr. is going to be on the stand on Wednesday. Don Jr. He's a lying son of a gun, crooked as a dog's hind leg. Well, here's what I would do. Everybody in the media goes, oh, you can't put him in jail because he's running for president and he was the president. I don't care if he was the president. Richard Nixon would have gone to jail if Gerald Ford hadn't pardoned him. You know, we don't have kings in this country. You don't get to do this kind of stuff. Now they say he's running for president now. Okay, fine. He's running for president now. You're not going to believe this. You know how many people are running for president now? Probably that filed a couple of hundred. Nobody ever talks about him. A couple of hundred. No names. Okay, he's a big name. What you do is he comes into court and you tell the bailiff, you have the police there, and you say, this is contempt. This is criminal contempt. I'm putting you in a jail cell for 5 days. Officers take him down. Then he says to the Secret Service detail, I want you to come with him. You have to protect him. I understand that. We've cleared out several cells. He'll be in one, and you'll be right next to him. And there'll be no other criminals around other than him or anybody else. And you can protect him real good. And if he has to go to the bathroom, he goes to the bathroom in his cell. That's it. And he'll get 3 meals a day. He'll get them pushed through the tray. And what I would do, and I don't know if this judge will do it, you know what I would do? I would go, tell you what, press, you want to come back and televise them? You can do it at state court. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. We go into the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, thanks for calling. You're first. What's your mind to Andrew of Detroit?
Hey, Matt, I've been listening to other people's theories.
Okay, Andrew, here's the deal. Here's the deal. We have a technical glitch. I can't hear. I can talk. So I want you to tell Anya, my producer, your comment, and then she will message it to me, and then I will respond. And Dick of Madison, I see you on the line. Please do the same thing when Anya can pick up the phone. And we are working on it. This is very exciting. Civic media is expanding exponentially around the state. We're all over the state. A lot of listeners. It's just wonderful. But doing the engineering all around the state in a very short period of time is difficult. It's a challenge. We love the challenge. We're doing great. So anyway, Anya is listening to your comments. She will message me your comments, and then I will respond. And that's true of anybody else listening to this. I love your comments. Quite frankly, this show, Matt Flynn Direct, now 2 hours. I'm very honored to have been asked to do 2 hours, is really, in many respects, all about the callers. We get a ton of callers, get a lot more callers than anybody else. And what you do frequently, you instruct me, you come bring up things I've never thought about. And you also raise questions that are fruitful questions. And then what I do is I take them and I comment on them. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. What do you do with a former president and B, somebody running for office again? The former president, it's very, very easy. You don't treat him any different from anybody else. Not at all. No differently from anybody else. What you do is you simply say, you're like anyone else. You know, we respect the fact that you were president once, Dick Nixon and Donald Trump. But I'll tell you what. You don't pull this kind of stuff and avoid jail. And then everybody else who says, okay, but I'm a former president, i.e. Trump, and running again. What if he hadn't been a former president? What if it was just somebody running again? What if it's Vivek Ramaswamy? What if it's Chris Christie? What if it's Nikki Haley? What if it's Ron DeSantis? And he pulled this kind of stuff? You know what would happen? He pulls this kind of stuff. That individual would be in the clink for 5 or 10 days the first time. You cannot defer to this guy. You simply cannot defer to this guy. He's a bully. He's a petty guy. And what he is doing is invoking the prospect of violence. You're not going to believe this. He published Barack Obama's home address just now, just recently. And a guy shows up to kill Barack Obama. He went after Judge Tanya Chutkan. We're going to talk about her in the next segment. Judge Tanya Chutkan in the Washington, D.C. case, the Jack Smith case. And you know what happens then? You know what happens then? She gets a death threat. A woman calls her, says, I'm going to kill you. That woman right now is in a criminal trial. She's going to go to jail for that because she got egged on by Donald Trump. He is a catastrophe. He's a walking crime scene, and something's got to be done. So I got to say to Judge Erdogan, he's not going to listen to me. Don't find him another 10 grand. Put him in a jail cell and put the Secret Service next to him. And feed him like anybody else. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back here. We'll be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Gotta cut you down.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Huck Berg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Huck Berg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to go right to the comments by Dick and Andrew, and then if Anya would put the phone log back on the screen, I'll be able to see the other calls. So here we go. Dick says, the lawyers against Trump should be allowed to play the tape of Trump disrespecting those who plead the fifth every time he attempts to use that defense. Dick, that's terrific. As always, Dick, that is terrific. I doubt, quite frankly, in this case, that he is going to plead the fifth. And the reason is, you do that in a criminal case, they can't tell the jury. You don't have to do it in front of the jury. But in a civil case, if you do that, what happens is you do that in a civil case, and an inference is drawn that if you had testified, it would have hurt you. It would have hurt you. So the judge, quite frankly, would say, okay, don't testify. I'm going to infer from that you're a crook. So he'd be crazy to take the fifth. But I agree that if he did take the fifth, it's absolutely good evidence for the lawyers for Letitia James to put any tape they want up there of him blasting people with tape, take the fifth. And Andrew of Detroit, the same thing. He felt that Trump will plead the fifth over and over. And to both of you, Dick and Andrew and all my listeners, pleading the Fifth Amendment is something you normally do in a criminal case. You do it outside the presence of the jury, and you don't take the stand. Because if you take the stand and want to testify and then take the fifth, do you remember Patty Hearst, the Patty Hearst case? She was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army in the 1970s. If you're too young, you don't remember it. She was an heir to the Hearst fortune. And they kidnapped her. You know, they may have sexually assaulted her. I don't know. They beat the hell out of her. And she turned into one of them. It was basically identification with the aggressor. And she joined them in robbing a bank. She had a beret on and sunglasses. And her criminal name was Tanya. So they charged her with felonies, and what she ended up doing is she gets on the stand, and she had a very famous lawyer, but he made a big mistake. He put her on the stand to say all the good stuff about her, and when they asked about the bank robbery, she took the fifth in front of the jury. If you take the fifth in front of the jury, you're dead, and she was convicted. So with Trump, there's no way that he is going to take the fifth. He can't. What he would have to do if he thought, I mean, and frankly, he's in danger because he's going to lie when he's on the stand. And there's not a lot, like, what is he going to say? Yeah, I overpriced this property by 500%. And he's admitted to a crime then. This is only a civil case. They can go after him for a crime. Or he can say, I take the fifth. And then the judge will look at him and say, you're a crook. I infer that you're a crook. So to both Andrew and Dick, I don't think that that is going to happen. But if it does, Andrew and Dick, yes, you can put on plenty of testimony and tapes of all the bad stuff that he's done before, making fun of people who take the Fifth and attacking them. And then Bill Bakanowak just called, and I look forward to Anya's messaging me about what he said. And as I say, we're working to smooth the tech all around the state. And speaking of gag orders, remember Tanya Chutkan? I just talked about Tanya Chutkan. She's the great judge in the DCK, terrific judge. Jack Smith, terrific prosecutor. She had imposed a gag order. Just remember the sequence. He appealed, and she agreed to stay the hold it. In other words, it's no longer in effect pending the appeal. Why she did that, I don't know. The correct protocol normally is if they want it stayed or held pending appeal, what you end up doing is you ask the Court of Appeals to do it. But she did it maybe to show that she was, she's bending over backwards not to gang up on him, even though he's a bad guy, lying Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump, that kind of thing. You know what he did? He then attacked again. Again, now that it was held, it's on appeal. She was told, he was told, you can't make comments targeting the attorneys, witnesses, or the court staff, or characterizing expected testimony to influence witnesses. You can't do that. That was in the gag order. That was in the gag order that she stayed as a courtesy. And here's what he goes. He goes, and it was very, very, I think, unwise of her to do that. She was trying to be a good person. He immediately, again, called Jack Smith deranged and Mark Meadows a lying coward. Now, wait a minute. She was told, he was told in the gag order, you can't do it. He said, oh, per, can you please hold it? Can you lift it? And maybe the Court of Appeals will say it's a violation of my First Amendment rights. Oh, okay. Immediately, Jack Smith deranged. Mark Meadows is a lying coward. He was told he can't attack witnesses. Mark Meadows is a witness. Mark Meadows will now have to get security if he doesn't have it already. Jack Smith already has it. And he and his wife and family had to sell their house. They had to sell their house. And they're under protection. Chutkan just reimposed the gag order, which she never should have lifted. That should have been up to the Court of Appeals. She did it as a courtesy to him to show that she was not bending over one way or the other. And as I said a little bit in the previous segment, he also goes out and publishes Barack Obama's home address. You know, Barack Obama doesn't live in the White House anymore. He doesn't get government housing anymore. He has an address. And yeah, probably some people in the neighborhood know it and they see Secret Service around it. But now 100 million people know it, or 50 million or whoever, follow the guy. And they don't all follow him because they like him. They follow him because he's a walking train wreck. But this is a word to the wise to judges. I practiced law for a long time, known a lot of judges, appeared before a lot of judges. When you have to impose a sanction and somebody urges you to raise it, just for purposes of appeal, what the heck, don't do it. There's a judge in Waukesha County that let a guy out. He was sentenced. This is a guy who was actually sentenced. And he said, I just want a couple of days to get my affairs in order. He went and he murdered somebody. Don't do it. If the appellate court wants to let him out, the appellate court can say that. Don't you do it. And if you have a guy, a lying Donald Trump, a crooked Donald Trump kind of guy, who's attacking witnesses, attacking the Trump, the staff in the Trump trial, attacking the opposing counsel, attacking court staff, do not lift it. The Court of Appeals wants to lift it, they can lift it. You keep it, and because if he had done this when it was in effect, right now he would be in deep trouble. Now she reimposed it, okay. Now he can't do it again, but the cat's out of the bag. We're going to a break. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. Lines are open 844-967-2789. I'm getting the full message that you give to
your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau is opposed to the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan. Kevin Krentz says the DNR should have specific population goals for wolves. Instead, the DNR is moving to an adjustable population goal, which is the same as for deer and other animals. The Farm Bureau says wolves are killing too many deer and livestock. Four different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. This is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A car thief crashed into two squad cars while trying to escape police. The Grand Chute Police Department found a car that had been reported stolen in Oshkosh. Authorities say they found the car in the 2500 block of West College Ave on Saturday. While trying to take the suspects into custody, the stolen car accelerated once in drive and then in reverse, hitting the two squad cars. The driver could face multiple charges. The passenger was released. The Resch Center has added three big-time acts for 2024. Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top will take the stage April 14th as co-headliners. Creed rolls into town on July 17th for their Summer of 99 tour. Pre-sale tickets go on sale tomorrow and for the general public on Friday, November 3rd. More information is available at reschcenter.com or at the Ticketstar box office at the Resch. Highs today are only in the mid-30s, but it should warm up slightly tomorrow for trick-or-treating. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers made one mistake after another, losing to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love admitting at times he couldn't decide what to do with the football.
That's where I need to continue to grow, continue to be better for the team. It's just being that decisive player that's going to, you know, go through my reads, and that's where I got to be better.
The Vikings suffering a blow in the fourth quarter when quarterback Kirk Cousins had to leave the game with a torn Achilles tendon. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Gave all the defensive guys game balls, but the last game ball was for Kirk.
College football, the Badgers battled for three quarters but lost at home to Ohio State 24-10. Wisconsin has now lost 10 games in a row. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's a tough one in that locker room. I thought we came out doing what we needed to do, to be honest with you.
NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Atlanta Hawks 127-110. Chris Middleton was inactive and asked, when did he find out that he would not play against the Hawks?
I think they told me maybe after the last game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet this afternoon with highs around 36. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for snow tonight 24. Snow likely tomorrow, high at 38. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK.
Welcome back to Mets and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we got two excellent comments from Wisco Paul and Bill of Oconomowoc. And just to remind everybody, lines are open, 844-967-2789. We have one tech issue, which is to say that I'm not going to be able to hear your calls, but Anya can. And then when you just tell her what your comment is, she messages me and I will respond. Wisco Paul, I'll take his first. Wisco Paul says, quote, Trump may have dementia. That's what his behavior seems to indicate. What do you think? Paul, I think that that is very perceptive. Let me tell you, and let me give you some examples. One of the raps on Joe Biden that they keep throwing around, you'll hear this from Republicans and you'll hear this from people who just mindlessly repeat. They'll go, oh, well, he probably has dementia. He's old, blah, 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 blah. Joe Biden right now is 3 years older than Trump. Trump is 77. Joe Biden is 80. 77 and 80. I firmly believe that it is Donald Trump that has early stage. We call it early stage dementia. And I'll give you some examples. But Joe Biden, remember also, he was a stutterer when he was a kid. And he was bullied. He was beaten up in school because he was a stutterer. Tough kid, he fought back. And if you ever notice Joe Biden, when he gives a speech, he almost always has a pencil in his hand, or frequently something in his hand. That's a tangible, solid object that my wife is a speech and language pathologist, and she dealt with kids with all sorts of speech issues her entire life. And that is something quite common that people with who have disfluency, they stutter, to hold on to sort of orient themselves. And Joe Biden's terrific. When he speaks firmly and emphatically. Remember, he flew to Israel right in the middle of this war to stand with the Israeli people. He flew to Kyiv. He took a train, a blacked out train, when he flew to Poland, 10 hours to get to Kyiv in Ukraine. The guy has unbelievable stamina. He was a star athlete in high school, and he's in great shape. Smart as heck, very, very experienced, very wise. He does not have dementia. No doctor I've ever talked to has said that they think he does. However, crooked Donald Trump has early stage, and I point to a number of things. He mixes things up in his speeches. The other day, he was talking about a town in South Dakota when he was actually talking about a town. He was physically in Iowa at a town with a similar but not the same name. He frequently appears disoriented and lying Donald Trump, when he misspeaks, his pencil that he holds, and he's not a stutterer, but the thing that he's trying to desperately hold on to is invective. He has a whole bunch of words like deranged, nasty things that he says about folks, crooked, that everything that he says is reflective of his own condition, crooked, unhinged, lying, that kind of thing. So Wisco Paul, yes, I think he does. The key is that in the discussion leading up to the 2024 election, that has to come out a lot more often. There is a guy with early onset in this presidential race. He's on the Republican side, and his name is Donald Trump. Bill of Oconomowoc had a great question. He asked, will Mike Johnson hurt or help America? I'll tell you, I think he will hurt, but I also point two unusual things about him, very unusual things about him, and a fight he's having with a right-wing Republican senator that makes me wonder if it's possible that he will do something right for a change. And here's what I'm getting at. Mike Johnson, when he and his wife married, right when they married, they started to raise, they didn't formally adopt them, and I don't know if it was a foster situation, but they took into their household a 14-year-old African-American kid who apparently had nowhere to go. They raised him along with their son. Right as they got married, they raised him along with their son, whom they finally had. That's something I respect. And I'll tell you something, and this is more of archival history, but I will wager that most people listening didn't know what I'm about to say. You remember a Senator Jesse Helms, right? From North Carolina, a long time ago, 20, 30 years ago. Jesse Helms was the original right-wing Republican senator, very bad on racial issues, very bad on civil rights, very bad on everything, One day, his secretary comes to him. She hands him a letter. She says, this just came in the mail with the mail. He reads the letter. It says, Dear Senator Helms, my name is, and I won't use the name because it's privacy, is so-and-so. I do not have parents. I have cerebral palsy. I would like you to adopt me if you would. Signed, the kid. You know what Jesse Helms did? The most right-wing senator in the Senate. He adopted him. He brought him into his household and adopted him. And I've got to say, I admire that. And I don't know many people who would have done that. Search your soul. Would you have done that? And he did it. So Mike Johnson, the Green, just he didn't adopt them formally, legally, unlike Helms, but he brought him into his household right as he was, married. I mean, you know, when you first get married, that's the last thing in the world you think you want to do. But he did it. The other thing, and this is like a glimmer, and it does not excuse his election denial. It does not excuse anything he said or stands for. But J.D. Vance, who is a real nasty, wicked guy, he is the senator, Republican from Ohio. He wrote a book, a novelist. He is, everybody thought, oh, he's an intellectual. He's probably, probably do the right thing. Well, no, he turned out to be a right-wing nut job Trump follower. And he is the one who sponsored in the Senate the bill to separate aid to Israel from aid to Ukraine. He's anti-aid to Ukraine. He wants to be pro-Trump. Trump attacks anyone who's for aid to Ukraine. So what he does is he goes, okay, I'm against aid to Ukraine. Trump's opposed to it. Trump's opposed to it because Putin is blackmailing him and bribing him, and he wants to help Putin. J.D. Vance is doing this because he wants to be a sucky-suck, suck up to Trump. Well, he came out the other day, yesterday, J.D. Vance, and he attacked comments by Mike Johnson, the speaker. Now, Mike Johnson had been anti-Ukraine aid. He shot his mouth off. He was just some backbencher down in Louisiana. He figured that would look good. But in his speech, and I heard him say it when he took the gavel, Mike Johnson said, quote, we can't allow Vladimir Putin to prevail in Ukraine because I don't believe it would stop there. End quote. Absolutely right. He'd go into Poland, Slovakia, Slovenia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. He threatened Finland. He threatened Hungary. because they all did that in 1956, the Hungarian Revolution. They went in and they took over Hungary. 1968, they did it in Czechoslovakia. So this guy at least knows his history, and that's the kind of thing Ronald Reagan would have said. That's more conventional Republican. You know what Vance said, attacking him? Quote, "It's concerning to see him change his tune so quickly after being elected to this role," end quote. Here's the concern I have. I don't know that he did change his role. I don't know that he did change his mind. Which time was he shooting his mouth off? We'll see if he will back Ukraine aid. Right now, he's just introduced a bill for Israel aid only. So he's bifurcating it. Mitch McConnell wanted it put together because it would be easier. It's possible that Mike Johnson will put in Ukraine aid as a separate standalone bill. More than half of his conference wants that. Most of the Democratic conference wants it. If it got put on the floor, it'd get 350 votes at least. But one of the anomalies of our congressional system is that nothing goes on the floor unless the speaker says it can go on the floor. Other than a discharge petition, Hakeem Jeffries could do that. It takes 30 days notice, maybe get 200, 210 Dems. You need 218. You'd have to go to, say, 10 Republicans. They are so chicken. They're so afraid that who knows what will happen. So, Bill, to your question, will Mike Johnson hurt or help America? I don't know. I'm initially inclined to say he will hurt because of the crazy stuff he said and stood for. But the adoption of that kid, not adoption, but his taking him into his household, and also saying that Vladimir Putin can't be entitled to prevail, leads me to believe that I have some hope. The problem is, the word today is he's going to put in a continuing funding resolution after November 17. That's going to be a massive cut to social programs that violates the McCarthy-Biden deal. The Senate won't agree to it, and he's playing games. So on balance, I'd say he's going to hurt. But I got to give the devil his due. If the devil has his due coming, I will give him his due. Okay, here's another terrific question or comment. Jay asks, "I think Trump has a split personality and is faking to get off if things go south for him." Jay from East Troy. Jay, thanks a lot for a very, very perceptive comment. I think Trump is nothing more than a B-grade actor. I think Jay is on to something. I don't think Trump is as right-wing as he tries to let on things like abortion, even things like guns. And I also think, I remember watching TV when he was told about the shooting the Floyd shooting in Minnesota. It was a terrible thing. This cop, not shooting, but holds him down and strangles him, basically. Shootings of others came later. And when they asked Trump about it, initially his eyes watered and he looked almost human. He looked almost human. Then he snapped in and gave, "Well, the cops did the right thing." I think when we say he's lying, it's not just the factual stuff he's lying about. I think he's lying to himself. I think he's lying. He's essentially a sociopath. He has no conscience, and he'll do this, but deep down inside, is there a little morsel of understanding? I think there might be, and I think calling him a split personality, a Jekyll and Hyde, is exactly right. Now, Jay's point is he may be faking it to get off if things go south for him. By go south, I assume you mean he loses the presidential election or he gets actually criminally convicted. And I don't know, is he faking it? You don't get off for being nuts or crazy just because you're a sociopath. So I don't know how that would work for him, but that's an interesting question, Jay. And I think you're spot on when you say that he's a split personality, because I don't think he believes half the stuff he is saying. Excellent question. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. It's a lot more after the break, but keep calling in. Because actually, this is working out okay. This is working out okay when Anya puts your comments on my message board. Back after the break.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt's Indirect. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Keep calling. Anya types up on the message board your comments, and I will respond. They're excellent comments. Actually, we're going to start with one right now. John from Boaz, thanks for calling. Matt, what was your history in the Navy? Were you ever in a big storm in a little boat? Well, I was in a little boat the whole time I was in the Navy, John, and I'll tell you what my story is. Went to Navy OCS, got commissioned as an ensign, went to various schools, and I was put on the USS Opportune in Little Creek, Virginia. It's an ARS, that means Auxiliary Rescue Salvage. We had non-combat divers, so not Navy SEALs, but they were guys. What we did was we went out as a salvage ship with the fleet, and when a plane went in the water, when a small craft went in the water, we would retrieve it. The most famous thing that my ship ever did, and I was not on it. This was 1968 when I was still in school, retrieved the hydrogen bomb that was dropped off the coast of Spain. If you can imagine, the Spanish government wasn't very pleased about that. One of our planes inadvertently dropped the hydrogen bomb off a beach in Spain. Now, it wasn't activated, but, you know, do you want to swim on a beach where there's a hydrogen bomb 100 yards off the shore? So on my ship, the USS Opportune, this was, 3 years before I was put on it, 2 years, I went over there, and their divers went down, and they retrieved the hydrogen bomb. So we were at sea a lot. I was in for 3 years. We were in the Mediterranean, the Caribbean, up and down the Atlantic. And I was the ops officer, operations officer, small ship. We had 6 officers and 99 enlisted men, 212 feet long, I think about 15 feet at the beam. We displaced 2,000 tons. And John asked, were you ever in a big storm in a little boat? Well, I was in a little boat all the time. That's considered a little boat. And anytime you see white caps, anytime you see there's heavy seas, it feels like a big deal. But in terms of storms, let me tell you what the Navy does. During the Second World War, there were destroyers in the Pacific fighting the Japanese who were overturned and went to the bottom with everybody on them. A typhoon is simply a hurricane in Asia. Same thing. So they're in a typhoon because they were given orders to go to a certain place. And even a destroyer, which is a very much bigger ship than a salvage ship, got flipped over and sent to the bottom. Aircraft carriers that were in typhoons were not flipped over and sent to the bottom, but they were badly damaged. So the Navy, after the Second World War, has a procedure we track storms on radar. Radar was invented in the Second World War. You track storms on radar. You can see them. And you are ordered to divert your course to avoid it. The roughest weather I was ever in was the outskirts of a gale, G-A-L-E, which is a smaller storm than a hurricane, but believe me, you don't want to be in a gale. So we were on the outskirts of a gale. We were ordered to divert, but they came, I guess, a little late. So you lock down the ship, you secure everything, and you sort of hang on. And it's called taking green water over the forecastle. Forecastle is F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-L-E. It's pronounced forecastle. Take green water over the forecastle. And our ship had a concrete hull. There used to be an icebreaker in the Arctic. So you go up, and then you go down, and the front of your ship disappears in the water. So if I had the con, if I was up directing the ship, which I frequently was, I would see green seawater coming. And we're not a submarine, coming over the bow, and then you'd suddenly come out of it, and there'd be green water over the stern. So that's the roughest I was ever in. You know, was it a big storm? It wasn't a gale or a hurricane. It was the outskirts of a hurricane. I love being in the Navy. I think you got to like water. I mean, you really do. You got to like being around water, and you got to respect water. But we need people in the Navy. So anybody out there, anybody who has a kid just out of school or wondering what to do, I would strongly encourage you to go in the Navy. Well, we have a development. You've read about it. Mike Pence dropped out. Mike Pence, now there are, I think, six left. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you some facts, then we'll go to the break. The third Republican debate without Pence will be November 8th in Miami. To qualify, a candidate had to get 4% in two national polls, or 4% in one national poll and 4% in two early polls. They had to have 70,000 individual donors, including a minimum of 200 donors in 20 states. And just to give you a little alert, the reason that Mike Pence dropped out is because he didn't have 70,000 individual donors and he wasn't going to qualify for this debate, which would have been embarrassing. And he also was down to $1.5 million when you need hundreds of millions to run for this stuff, or at least tens of millions. It reminds me of a guy who ran 10 years ago, the governor of New York. I'm not focusing on his name. He ran out of money. He took commercial flights, and he didn't fly first class, and he carried his own luggage. If you show up in a debate like that, they're going to say, hey, guy, you know, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Five have qualified so far: Trump, DeSantis, Haley, Chris Christie, and Vivek Ramaswamy. It's possible one more will. I don't know. I thought there were going to be six. Trump is skipping the debate. He's going to be in a rally in Hialeah, near Miami, right during the debate, typical of the guy. But Pence is out. Now, what does Trump say about Pence being out? Is Trump a classy guy, lying Donald Trump? Crooked Donald Trump? Does he show class? Is he class with a capital K? No, he's not a classy guy. He said, Pence betrayed me. He kicks him. Pence is down, out of the debate, no money, lying in the gutter. He kicks him. But then he says, but now he should endorse me. This is Trump. Trump has left a trail of bodies behind him, a trail of jailbirds. He's left a trail of people who go down. His lawyers, you know, two of his lawyers just pled guilty in Atlanta. Cohen went to jail. Giuliani is going to be convicted. Everybody around him, every professional goes to jail. His bodyguard, Nauta, is being criminally prosecuted. These guys all go to jail, not him. And then he kicks them while they're down right in the head. And he goes, you betrayed me, but you should endorse me. Why does anybody show loyalty to him? He doesn't show loyalty to anybody else. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.